This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March all the months of the year.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
Today we celebrate the Archangel Michael. It's the one Archangel Day that actually falls a full week after the solstice or equinox. And it marks a deep turning of the year. We shift from external concerns so many ways to internal ones. It is also time, because of that, where we decide many things. We decide what we will take indoors with us for the winter and what we will leave outside. There's only so much room indoors. There's so much room in our attention. And so there's always a period of discernment, period of analysis, period of splitting things apart, seeing what is there. This is a part of our process we go through over and over again. There are also particular times in the year that really bring this out. And this is one of them. Symbol of Michael, Michael, the flaming sword. And he is shown either an upraised sword or spear, usually triumphant over a demonic figure. We're armed and armored, standing, ready. Eastern Orthodox traditions, one of the doors into the sanctuary has the image of Michael, this severe image. The image that sets limits, cuts across, and makes it possible to divide things, separate out things. To see what is there. The other door, the sanctuary, has Gabriel, one who announces, who calls, who summons. These are both there. We are called, yes, we are always called. And all of us are called. We are also judged, summed up. At the doorway, at every doorway, is a guardian, something we must measure ourselves against to pass through. It is common today to think of this as being unnecessary. Then, it's common today to think of many things as being unnecessary, that are very necessary to our souls, to our lives. Without boundaries, without limits, there is nothing. Nothing discernible. Creation story usually begins with a fullness that is also the same as emptiness. Because there is no differentiation, no splitting apart, no way of telling one from another. It is all things, and it is no things. And the process of creation is a process of emanation, of division, splitting things apart. Some, there is a first division, a kenosis pulling back, which creates the barbello. And from one, there are two. From unconsciousness, there is consciousness. And creation proceeds. For that is what we are talking about, consciousness. It is a function of consciousness to split things apart, take things apart, see what is there. Sometimes it is done like a little kid taking apart a clock they can't imagine putting back together, and you end up with really nothing recognizable at the end. Other times, it's more like the alchemical process. We must take what you have, what you are given, and refine it. Take it through many stages, transformation. And there, in what you already have, there in the muck, as one of the phrases says, you find the philosopher's stone. It is not found simply by wandering around, tripping over it, and going, ooh, lucky me, I've got the philosopher's stone. It is always a long process of analysis, a long process that requires discipline. What sets apart a vigilante or a mob from a warrior or an army is discipline. We cannot go wielding our very powerful weapons, very dangerous tools, without discipline. And consciousness is the most powerful tool, the most dangerous weapon there is. But without discipline, it is like a sword that has been left to rust and be dulled. It hasn't changed its nature, but its usefulness is questionable. We take up the sword of Michael, the flaming sword, sword of light, sword of consciousness, sword of the rational. We must do so in a way that honors the power of that sword, in a way that recognizes the limitations of that sword. It is, after all, what it is, and nothing more. Reason, thought, theory, analysis, all of these things are important. We need them. If they are not all that there is, they cannot perform tasks that are outside of their purview. It is so easy in this world that is so mediated. We see it through books, through newspapers, magazines, through television and radio. It is not given to us directly. It is constantly shaped by another's mind, by another's language, by another's eye. And it is so easy to think that that is the world, to react to that, this mediated existence, as if it were reality. And if we do that, we can get caught up thinking that it is a matter of ideas, or it is a matter of one idea or another. This is where the theory of memes makes so much sense. That there is a sense in which ideas struggle and fight without any regard, really, to human. In some ways, this makes sense. So we must look to the arm that holds the sword and to the body that arm is connected to. Metaphorically speaking, we must prepare ourselves to wield the sword. And part of that is to know the material you'll be wielding it, using it on. Know what is real, what is mere fancy. This is the hardest task of our age, the one that if we fail, our culture will collapse. Discern what is real, the first task. Then we can use power of consciousness, reason, of analysis, to give us a clear picture of that which is real, and to continually test and check and make sure we're still talking about what is real. So easy, split off, go into La La Land. Zen Master Dzogchen wrote, "A hair's breadth of difference, and heaven and earth split apart. Doesn't take much." The lesson today speaks of a vision. A vision, a sense of an apocalypse, of being caught up into the heavens, seeing the Ancient One of Days on his throne, surrounded by thousands and thousands and myriads of myriads of angels. This great concussion, this great happening, causes Enoch to fall down. It is so much. It is too much to bear. And when Michael comes to raise him up, he returns. The vision ends, because it is too much. But it is that lifting up. It is a sense that if that hadn't occurred, perhaps he would have simply died. Many shamanic cultures, they take these things very seriously and goes on a vision quest, goes through these lands, goes on these journeys, that if one is not brought back properly, one might even die, or might come back without a complete soul. We don't take our souls seriously enough in this world. That is what we need, a figure like Michael, to show us they are worth guarding. Nothing is more precious. Not some abstract, metaphysical soul, but the inner life and light we all know. That we know we are more truly than anything else. Sometimes we have to defend that. It is a difficult world. Gnostics have always had the very sane attitude that the world is not a paradise. It's not a perfect place. And that, the reason for that isn't your fault. There is a reality outside of ourselves. It has its rules, its laws, it functions mechanically. And those gears so often crush us. If we do not defend ourselves with our consciousness, with our discernment and analysis, we will fall into many traps, into the unreal, to that which would overwhelm us. We must hold fast. But there is something to hold fast to. The gospel is one of my favorite passages in all Gnostic scriptures. It talks about those who no longer spin about the truth, but they are themselves the truth. And this is what we must hold fast to. The gnosis of the heart is a phrase to refer to what we already know, but do not realize. It is not operative gnosis, but when we see it in the world, we hear an echo within ourselves, and that is how we know it is true. And when the pearl and the letter reaches the seeker, that is how the seeker knows it is true. It's written on his heart, written on our hearts, written in our very being. It is the gnosis and the truth that will set us free. The ultimate sword and weapon to escape from the cosmos. But it isn't fully operative. It's there. It's there like a buried treasure, like a mountain full of rich ore. We must do something to separate out, to refine, to get it. The philosopher's stone is in the muck. We are the muck. We are the stone. Rise up. Take up the sword that is yours. Discern. Use the tools that we have. We do not reach the pleroma, the fullness, the wholeness, by trying to go backwards. The creation story is one where we go forward. We go forward into the cosmos, and we pass through the cosmos. The story continues forward. We cannot unlearn, undo, unbe. But what we hold fast to has always been, will always be. And the rest can be transformed through that process of analysis, synthesis, through the mysterious process of transformation. And we can have, truly have and truly know, our birthright. Truth sets free. The ultimate weapon in the cosmos is truth, is gnosis. Philip K. Dick wrote in Valis, when he was in a mental institution, he wrote that there is a healing word that if you are lucky, you might hear. We always hear a wounding word, the one that strikes us to the quick, strikes us deeply. And the reason it strikes so deep is it's true. There is also the healing word that tells us. You will always hear the wounding word, but only if you are lucky will you hear the healing word, the healing phrase, the healing truth. They are both truths. Two edges. That which cuts us down really doesn't cut us down at all. Cuts us free. It's a matter of who you think you are, of what is real. But you are the truth. So no truth can hurt you, only set you free. So on this day, we celebrate, praise, ask for the aid, the Holy Archangel Michael. Let us know we are asking his aid for. What in ourselves, in our lives, in our beings, these symbols might mean. Sword, armor, setting limits, and ultimately piercing through all the veils. All the delusions, all the illusions, piercing through to become free. May the mystery that which hangs fixed heaven upon us. Information and resources on Gnosticism, visit the Gnosis Archive at gnosis.org. That's GNOSIS.ORG. And the Gnosis Institute at gnosisinstitute.org. If you'd like to continue receiving these podcasts, please consider a voluntary subscription of either $13 or $25 a year. That's $1 to $2 a month to make it possible to continue to provide this service. Thank you.